Why do you want to deal with it? We want to deal with it because we are not entirely at home in the situation which is given to us. No individual finds his or her situation absolutely congenial to oneself, and therefore one is required to deal with it. Dealing with this properly, in the right manner, with knowledge, is what is called karma yoga. To deal with the event which is happening, with the circumstance, and with our own will. Dealing rightly with these three things is the real heart of karma yoga. Now, what is called right dealing? Or what is the real right way of doing karma yoga? First, to realize that we are not in the original condition from where we had started. Which was the condition of freedom. Therefore, to realize that now our present position is a position of bondage. We are bound. Therefore, it is not easy for us now merely to say, let this be changed and it will change. In the original condition, whatever you will automatically happen immediately because it is a condition of freedom. But now that you are not in the condition of freedom, you have to realize that you are in the condition of bondage. So it will not happen immediately. As soon as you say, now let it change, it will immediately change. This is the first wisdom. The second wisdom is that whatever is the event now in question before you, whatever is happening to you, and whatever the circumstance in which this is happening, try to relate it to the original will. What is its connection with the original will? Utilize the event and the circumstance not by escaping from it, but by tracing it to its origin. Now this tracing to origin is a very difficult task. Therefore, there is an easier method to know that the originally it has issued from the divine. Whatever may have been the whole history, how it has come to the present case, but the fact is it has originally come from the divine. Therefore, the easier method is to offer this event and circumstance back to the divine. With this attitude, that it has originally come from you, it is twisted because of my bondage, my forgetfulness. And put it right. So that this twist may completely go out of it. And whatever action is now being done, whatever will I have with regard to my circumstance and events which are occurring, I will discover that that will has two deficiencies. These two deficiencies are in the form of desire and ego. My connection with my circumstance and with the events which are happening, this connection is intertwined by these two deficiencies. Why do we call them deficiencies? Why is desire called a deficiency? Why is ego called a deficiency? Because desire by its very nature is an attempt to possess something that I do not possess already. All desire is a desire to possess what I don't possess now. So it is a sign of deficiency. If you are not deficient, desire cannot exist. Ego also is a deficiency. Why? Because all egoism is an attempt to experience his independence. When it is not really independent, egoism is only an attempt, it is not a mastery of independence. If one is a masterly independent entity, there is no strain of egoism at all. All egoism is a state of strain. And strain is a deficiency. The very fact that I am straining, it means that I am deficient. Otherwise I would not be straining. When there is a real capacity, there is no strain. But all egoism is a straining. A straining to become independent when I am not independent. And I cannot become independent, however much I like. No egoism can really be independent in this world. That is the reason why in Karma Yoga there is first a movement to offer the circumstance and the event to its original divine. And secondly, to withdraw from desire and ego, these two deficiencies. Therefore, the entire process of yoga, karma yoga, is a constant offering to the divine and a constant destruction of desire and ego. When this is repeated again and again and again and again, then we are unable to come back to the original position. And then we get freedom. Even while action continues, but it will be action proceeding from silence, proceeding from perfection, proceeding according to Svabhava, according to Swadharma, it will be your true Swakarma. And then once again you can say, na karma lipyate nare, the action does not bind you. That which was at the original condition is again can be attained now, after this cycle of development. To utilize action itself for liberating ourselves from action is called Karma Yoga. To arrive at oneness of the Supreme Reality, so that you see everywhere oneness, and to have equal-mindedness, samatvam, even while action is proceeding from you, this is the height of karma yoga. Now, until you reach this point, the law of karma, as we understand it, namely that you can't escape it, becomes imperative. You can be free only at that level, but till that time, karma is imperative. But gradually you can make this karma operative for higher and higher realization. And this making use of it is called the process of growth. Now let us concentrate a little on this particular point. We have seen the state of bondage, you have seen the state of freedom. But what we are now concentrating upon is the middle point, where we have to understand how the work, how karma works itself out, in one word it may be said that all work, all karma is an instrument of experience. Now this concept of experience is very, very important. What do we call experience? All experience is dynamic. All experience is a kind of friction which leads you to greater and greater identity. All experience has in its heart the nourishment for growth. Let us take a very small example. A child reads a book, an elementary book, and learns all that the book contains. There is a good deal of information that he collects. But all that is not experience. He collects a lot of information. There is something deeper than mere information that is involved in experience. The child's labor in collecting information, child's labor in understanding what is to be understood, child's enjoyment or pain in understanding, child's attitude towards the possession of the information. The child may become proud of the information that he collects. Child may become humble because he finds that he didn't know anything at all, and even now he does not know much more that is to be learned. So the attitude that he takes towards whatever is learned and as a result of all this, the impulse that is grown to move next step forward, this is what is called experience. Child may forget all that he has learned now, and he goes to higher levels. But what he has learnt as an experience, his experience of joy, his experience of suffering, his labor, his attitude, the inspiration to grow, his pride, his humility, all that really grows. And that is not lost. The given information that is collected might be forgotten, but this is not lost. Even if he may not remember these experiences, his present personality is built upon this, what he has gained. The labor that he has put in, the pain that he has suffered, joy he has experienced, the growth that he has felt.